Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And welcome to the show. Tonight we have we're going to run an interview that we did with our friend John Brennan, who's our environmental reporter on our Tuesday night show. And he talks about chemtrails, of course, updates us on that, and he also had a few other concerns that he brought up. So that'll be on tonight around 8:30.
He brings up hot and cool topics, not always weather-related, but somehow connected.
And we are going to go to that in just a second. But what we're going to do is I wanted to make sure everybody knows that what we're going to read some, read a few
news items.
Yeah.
Timely news items from,
around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And some that we picked out here. And let's see, can we start with?
Here's an interesting one. The U.S. is seeking an international front against Iran.
Right. Hang on a second here. U.S. one terror groups and sow chaos in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. You want to read that one or this one?
Yeah, let's do the terror groups. America is secretly funding militant...
That's
all. Ooh.
I'm going to bring that article up here.
Okay, this is a good one.
This is by Telegraph UK, .UK.
America is recently funding militant ethnic separatist groups in Iran in an attempt to pile pressure on the Islamic regime to give up its nuclear program. In a move that reflects Washington's growing concern with the failure of diplomatic initiatives, CIA officials are understood to be helping opposition militias among the numerous ethnic minority groups clustered in Iran's border regions. The operations are controversial because they involve dealing with movements that resort to terrorist methods in pursuit of their grievances against the Iranian regime. In the past, there has been a wave of unrest in ethnic minority border areas of Iran, with bombing and assassination campaigns against soldiers and government officials. Such incidents have been carried out by the Kurds in the west, the Azaris in the northwest, the Ahwazi Arabs in the southwest, and the Balochis in the southeast. And I forgive me if I mispronounced anyone's group. Non-Persians make up nearly 40% of Iran's 69 million population, with around 6 million Azeris, 7 million Kurds, 16 million Azeris, 7 million Kurds, 5 million Ahwazis, and 1 million Balochis. Most Balochis live over the border in Pakistan. Funding for their separatist causes comes directly from the CIA classified budget, but is now no great secret, according to one former high-ranking CIA official in Washington who spoke anonymously to the Sunday Telegraph.
And we had read articles on this before that under the Bush administration was openly attacking.
And I'm sure it was there even before.
Openly operating covert operations, in Iran.
His claims were backed by Fred Burton, a former U.S. State Department counterterrorism agent, who said the latest attacks inside Iran fall in line with U.S. efforts to supply and train Iran's ethnic minorities to destabilize the Iranian regime. Although Washington officially denies involvement in such activity, Tehran has long claimed to detect the hand of both America and Britain in attacks by guerrilla groups on its internal security forces. Last Monday, Iran publicly hanged a man, Nasrullah Shanbi Zihai, for his involvement in a bomb attack that killed 11 revolutionary guards in the city of Zahedin in Sistan Baluchistan. An unnamed local official told the semi-official Fars news agency that weapons used in the attack were British and U.S. made. Yesterday, Iranian forces also claimed to have killed 17 rebels described as mercenary elements in clashes near the Turkish border, which is a stronghold of the PJAK, a Kurdish militant party linked to Turkey's outlawed PKK, Kurdistan Workers' Party. John Pike, the head of the influential global security think tank in Washington, said, "The activities of the ethnic groups have hotted up over the last 2 years, and it would be a scandal if that was not, at least in part, the result of CIA activity." Such a policy is fraught with risk, however. Many of the groups share little common cause with Washington, other than their opposition to President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, whose regime they accuse of stepping up repression of minority rights and culture. The Baluchistan-based Brigade of God group, which last year kidnapped and killed 8 Iranian students, soldiers, is a volatile Sunni organization that many fear could easily turn against Washington after taking its money. That's happened many times before. A row has also broken out in Washington over whether to unleash the military wing of the Mujahideen, an Iraqi-based Iranian opposition group with a long and bloody history of armed opposition to the Iranian regime. The group is currently listed by the U.S. State Department as a terrorist organization, but Mr. Pike said, "A faction in the Defense Department wants to unleash them. They could never overthrow the current Iranian regime, but they might cause a lot of damage." At present, none of the opposition groups are much more than irritants to Tehran, but U.S. analysts believe that they could become emboldened if the regime was attacked by America or Israel. Such a prospect began to look more likely last week as the U.N. Security Council deadline passed for Iran to stop its uranium enrichment program. And a second American aircraft carrier joined the buildup of U.S. naval power off Iran's southern coastal waters. The U.S. has also moved 6 heavy bombers from a British base on the Pacific island of Diego Garcia to the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, thank you, which could allow them to carry out strikes on Iran without seeking permission from Downing Street. While Tony Blair reiterated last week that Britain still wanted a diplomatic solution to the crises, Vice President Dick Cheney yesterday insisted that military force was a real possibility.
Where's the data scan? Oh. Huh. Yeah, this was dated February 2007. I misread this, but I mean it was current on that. So we're still funding these people,
mm-hmm.
right? And by the Bush administration openly admitted to funding them to undo the Iranian government.
And it seems like since it's still this news article is still up, I think it's very current.
Well, they came up, they replayed it. This particular blog that I go to often.
Let's go back and see. I didn't realize that it said February 2007.
I didn't either, but it was. It didn't really say that when I pulled it up, but they were just showing this other one.
Let's look at this. This is 2009 in June.
As today.
Yeah.
But that other one was published today again, republished today.
The United States has raised the idea of an international front against what has long been referring to as wrongful pursuits on the part of Iran. On Wednesday, the U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary William Lim depicted the formation that included Russian surveillance structures. We are exploring the cooperation with the Russians, he said. It would serve as a diplomatic signaling to the Iranians that they will face a concerted international front should they proceed down that path, Lin said, in an apparent reference to Iran's military and nuclear activities. the Washington Post reported.
Yeah, that's a crock of crap, and I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, the Russians have already signed an agreement, signed an alliance agreement with Iran.
There's something not right here.
And it's not likely that Russia is going to.
They sold them all the equipment.
And it's not likely they're going to.
This is what it says here, though. The collaboration would recruit two Russian radars, one south of the country and the other in Azerbaijan, to provide helpful early warning detection in the case of an Iranian ballistic missile attack.
That ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think this is
all sort of whipping up.
It is. And the fact that they're even involving Russia with this is the United States and Russia is absurd. Since they've already taken a stance on that.
Wait a minute. The former U.S. administration proposed that the hardware be deployed in Poland and the Czech Republic against potential offenses by Iran and North Korea. Moscow has already denounced the Polish-Czech move as a deterrent that imperiled its security, calling it an invitation back into Cold War. Last month, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accused Washington of holding on to the Iran excuse to stain Russia's backyard with threats. The way it is designed has nothing to do with Iran's nuclear program. It is aimed at Russian strategic forces deployed in Europe, in the European part of the Russian Federation, he said. Oh, that was that build-up that they wanted to do.
Yeah, they wanted to, yeah.
Let's see. What does it say? The new White House team has, however, paused to pursue the move in an apparent sign to cease what was widely seen as the former administration's neoconservative application of the politics of fear. I'm not really quite sure what they're doing there.
A lot of posturing. Yeah. They're not going to do anything. Iran TV accuses U.S. of intolerable meddling. Protesters.
That's what we just read.
Oh, we read this one.
Mm-hmm.
And White House is not meddling. White House says, we're not meddling.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Okay, so.
Wait a minute. Sarkozy says, the French toad, says the Iranian election is a fraud. I can't believe the French voted for him.
Yeah. Anyway, it says, it's a tragedy, but it's not negative to have a real opinion movement that tries to break its chains, as he says. And
they say, and where was Sarkozy when Bush bin Laden stole two presidential elections in the U.S.?
Yeah. And
let's see what else.
This one here is interesting. I wanted to.
Why don't you read that?
This one here is troublesome. This is by the New York Times, so you gotta question this source.
Take it where it comes from.
Yeah, right. It could be a made-up source.
Hmm.
The National Security Agency is facing renewed scrutiny over the extent of the domestic surveillance program, with critics and Congress saying its recipients intercepts its recent intercepts
of the private telephone calls and email messages
of Americans are broader than previously acknowledged current and former officials said. The agency's monitoring of domestic email messages, in particular, has posed longstanding legal and logistical difficulties, the officials said. Since April, when it was disclosed that the intercepts of some private communications of Americans went beyond legal limits in late 2008 and late 2009, several congressional committees have been investigating. Those inquiries have led to concerns of Congress about the agency's ability to collect. And you want to talk about a run-on sentence here, all right? In the most prestigious piece of crap in the United States, the New York Times. In 2008, those inquiries have led to concerns in Congress about agencies' ability to collect and read domestic email messages of Americans on a widespread basis, officials said. Supporting the conclusion is the account of former NSA analyst who in a series of interviews described being trained in 2005 for a program in which the agency routinely examined large volumes of Americans' email messages without court warrants.
Mm-hmm.
Two intelligence officials confirmed that the program was still in operation.
One wonders whose emails they're following and reading.
Well, I'm not telling you. And both the, which is so typical of this goddamn magazine, newspaper.
So they maybe don't know.
Yeah, they don't even, they wouldn't even publish it if they did. The New York Times, a waste of time to read that. KBR should refund U.S. payments for war insurance.
Oh, Kellogg Brown and oh, good luck with that.
Is there anything else exciting in here?
Going too fast, I can't see.
No, I'm just skimming.
Well, I can't see it because I'm at it. I would like to see it because I'm at an angle.
Trust me, there's nothing there to see. There's nothing worth reading there. Okay?
Here's one.
What? No, it's not.
I just want to read that. And Brazilian scientists have identified a new strain of the H1N1 virus after examining samples from a patient in São Paulo. Their institute said on Tuesday, the variant is being called A/SAPALO1454H1N1 by the Adolfo Lutz Bacteriological Institute, which compared it with samples of H1N1 swine flu from California.
Some of these technical things are like walking in quicksand.
The genetic sequence of the new subtype of H1N1 virus was isolated by a virology team by one of its researchers. I wonder what that means exactly for us. We got a new strain.
Olivia records 13 cases of the bubonic plague. 13 cases of bubonic plague have been reported in eastern Libya near the border with Egypt. Health Minister Mohammed Hajazi told American Foreign Press, Associated Foreign Press rather, on Wednesday, 13 cases of the plague have been recorded in a village 30 kilometers away from Tobruk, and 11 people have already been treated and left hospital, he said, without reporting any deaths.
Oh.
And Libyan media have spoken of between 1 and 3 fatalities.
Mm.
Oh, I like this one. This one was kind of interesting. I'm going to read this. Obama blasts the right-wing Fox News. I thought that was really funny. He says, he's getting pissed off, I guess. So they must be hitting home. But U.S. President Barack Obama has denounced the far-right television network Fox News for an adversarial stance against his administration. Speaking on America's CNBC, the U.S. president slammed the hardline TV channel, noting, I've got one television station that is entirely devoted to attacking my administration.
Pardon me.
That's a pretty big megaphone. You'd be hard-pressed if you watched the entire day to find a positive story about me on that front. Obama said he was generally positive about the press coverage of his activities, though admitting that it was very hard for him to swallow some of the media charges. We welcome people who are asking us some tough questions. I think I've probably been as accessible as any president in the first 6 months. I think that actually the reason people have been generally positive about what we've been trying to do is people feel as if I'm available and willing to answer questions, and we haven't been trying to hide the ball. And the U.S. cable TV channel, available to over 100 million people, Americans, has been relentlessly bashing
Democrats
since the 2008 November election that led to the sweeping victory of the Democratic Party.
In the presidential and Senate election.
But Fox has been doing this well before 2008. You know, they've been doing this ever since they began.
Mm.
And it says Obama's harsh overtures to Fox News comes in the wake of channel founder Rupert Murdoch's remarks, in which the media mogul had called the U.S. president dangerous for America's future.
Hmm.
The Australian-born publisher magnate established the channel in 1996 as part of Fox Entertainment Group, itself an auxiliary of Murdoch's News Corporation. This year, Rupert Murdoch received the National Human Relations Award on the American Jewish Committee. Yeah. So you can tell, you know what he's all about. He's a Zionist. Fox News is a Zionist. You know, I mean, everybody's a Zionist.
Well, the media is controlled by that.
Yeah, so it's like bizarro. But nevertheless, we report it all here on the LA Steel Show. U.S. hate crime spike. Are we done?
Yeah. Can we turn this a little so I can see it? It's very difficult to see. Just turn it.
Well, wait. Wait till something comes up so you can read it.
Get a turner.
Right.
Okay, that's election of Barack Obama as the first African-American president, U.S. president, the financial crisis and immigration have formed, that doesn't make sense. The election of Mr. Barack Obama as the first African-American U.S. president, the financial crises and immigration have formed a lethal cocktail leading to a spike in hate crimes, rights leaders warned on Tuesday. This toxic combination of the financial crises, a significant political change, and concern about shifting demographics has created what could be a combustible combination, Mr. Wade Henderson, head of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, told reporters. There has been a documented rise in these threats of violence, which have been stoked by the extreme political rhetoric, sensationalism and irresponsibility that we've seen on the talk show, radio, and other forms of communication, like the Internet, he said.
According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the number of hate groups operating in the U.S. increased more than 4% in 2008 and has grown by 54% since 2000. A report issued on Tuesday by the leading conference showed
Barack Obama's election has inflamed racist extremists who see it as another sign that their country is under siege by non-whites, said Mr. Mark Potok, editor of the intelligence report published by the Southern Poverty Law Center. While many thought the election of Mr. Obama had signaled an end to the racially divided America, a report issued on Tuesday by the Leadership Conference painted a different reality.
The spate of racially motivated hate crimes and violence against minorities and immigrants that occurred before and after Election Day makes clear that a final victory over prejudice and racial hostility remains elusive, the report said. Mr. Obama, of all recent presidents, has received the most threats of any recent U.S. leader. The Leadership Conference said in its report, calling on U.S. lawmakers to pass hate crimes legislation. Pretty bizarre, huh? I thought that was interesting. That's from Straight Times or Press.
Close that.
Oh, this one. Cocaine found in frozen sharks.
Oh, let's look at that. New way to bring it in.
Yes, sir.
The Mexican Navy discovered a container ship full of frozen sharks packed with cocaine. Authorities announced the shipment was discovered off the eastern state of Yucatan on board the 12 Mitra Marshall's Islands flagged Dover Strait, which had left from Houston, Texas, the Navy said. At this time, proceedings are underway to determine the total weight of the shipment and to examine other containers transported aboard the same ship, it added in a statement.
The shipping in frozen sharks.
Too weird, though.
What has 132 rooms and files?
Flies.
Oh, flies. Oh, yeah. That was a fly thing. Obama hit a fly. So let's go up this and back here. I'm going to go to, we got about 5 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just go to.
So we'll get you a little more news, folks. Be patient.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff. This is from David Icke.
Yeah, you can check this out. I love this site because not only does he bring up some bizarre stories, but he also pretty much tells you stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Swine flu vaccination poses serious threat to your health. Global Research, the 13th of June. It looks like governments around the world would either force these vaccinations on the public or launch a massive propaganda campaign to trick you into submitting to a jab. If they attempt to force these untested and essentially experimental vaccinations on you, cite the Nuremberg Code, which states, "The voluntary consent of the human subject is essential. No experimental vaccine should be conducted where there is a prior reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur, except perhaps in those experiments where the experimental physicians also serve as subjects."
Evangelical silence empowers ADL bullying. In a California school district of Alameda, children as young as 5 will now be forced to learn pro-homosexual material, and parents will not be allowed to exempt them. The school district claims it is addressing bullying against students because of their sexual orientation. Parents are outraged. The conservative groups are spreading the word, but few will speak against the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish supremacist organization responsible for creating and pressing for hate crime and anti-bullying laws as tools to silence Christian expression in America. The mandatory indoctrination of children into tolerance of homosexuality comes from ADL and its partners. It's clear that this is just one part of a much larger campaign against traditional morality in the echelons of government inspired by the ADL, which is the Jewish Defense League, and the National Premier Civil Rights Human Relations Agency. Laws are enacted to insist that homosexuality be legitimized and normalized as a healthy alternative. The perspective that homosexuality is sinful, damaging, and unnatural is described as a hate, no matter how many people believe such traditional morality or how many sacred books teach it. So, interesting, huh?
Yeah.
This I heard today, which I thought was fascinating, but state-run news. The ABC turns programming over to the government.
Completely dispensing with any notion of independence or impartiality, ABC News is set to mimic the likes of Communist China and North Korea by completely turning its news coverage over to the government and excluding any dissenting opinions to promote President Obama's health care agenda. The night of Wednesday, June 24th, will officially herald the opening commencement of state-run news, imitating similar systems in historical dictatorships such as the Soviet Union, where Pravda was the official propaganda organ of the Central Committee of the Communist Party from 1912 to 1991.
Okay. And so I'll read just a little more on this.
That's all we read that.
That's by prison.
Right here. In China, the vast majority of news outlets are completely owned and controlled by the Communist Party. Negative viewpoints about government policy are blocked, and news developments that could reflect badly on China are ignored and censored. An almost identical system of media also exists in Stalinist North Korea.
And still, at least the Chinese and North Koreans don't try to hide the fact that the state is state-run.
The press is state-run,
unlike ABC News, owned by the corporate giant Walt Disney, which masquerades as an independent news outlet, yet in little over a week will completely turn over its news coverage to act as enthusiastic propagandist for the government reform program. The coverage will be in addition to ABC's news regular program, which is already vehemently pushing the government's agenda on this issue. On the night of the 24th, the media and government become one when ABC turns its programming over to President Obama and White House officials to push government-run health care, a move that has ignited an ethical firestorm, according to the Drudge Report. And ABC News anchor Charles Gibson will deliver world news from the blue room of the White House. The network plans a primetime special. Hey, it's really sick shit. But what's worse about it is NBC has already done it. You know, NBC has been touting
sold
this.
Out.
Yeah, they sold out with Brian Williams on this damn thing. So I mean, you got to suck up media, all right? Who's completely owned by the government, completely owned by the globalists. It ain't happening, guys. I mean, you got to listen to us. You got to listen to people who are talking about this stuff. I mean, don't turn on Fox News, or yeah, maybe you should turn on Fox News, all right? And you talk about the bogus Obama.
Recent months have seen numerous breakthroughs for the truth movement in the corporate media, from Fox 26's interview with Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for the 9/11 Truth, to the 9/11 Press for Truth being aired on local television in Colorado, to coverage of this year's Bilderberg Conference in major British newspapers. Despite these positive developments, however, primetime TV dramas are continuing to portray those skeptical of the official 911 story, a clearly majority of the American public, after a poll as deranged terrorists who are likely to commit acts of violence.
So, I've lost now.
I think it's probably time for...
Here's a good one. This is proof. Israeli effort to destabilize Iran via Twitter. Right-wing Israeli interests are engaged in an all-out Twitter attack with hopes of delegitimizing the Iranian election and causing political instability with Iran. Anyone using Twitter over the past few days knows that the topic of the Iranian election has been the most popular. Thousands of tweets and retweets alleging that the election was a fraud, calling for protests in Iran, and even urging followers hack various Iranian news websites, which they did successfully. And the Twitter popularity caught the eye of various blogs such as Mashable and TechCrunch, and even made it a way to mainstream news media sites. Here's where these legitimate Iranian people were the works of propaganda machine. I became curious and decided to investigate the origins of the information. In doing so, I narrowed it down to a handful of people who have accounted for 30,000 Iranian-related tweets in the past few days. Each of them had some striking similarities. So, I'm just going to finish this up here.
Right-wing Israeli interests are engaged in all-out Twitter attack with the hopes of destabilizing the Iranian election and causing political instability within Iran.
This is where we're going here. Each of them had some striking similarities.
Why don't you read this? These are the similarities right here. Each created their Twitter accounts on Saturday, June 13th.
Each had extremely high numbers of tweets since creating their profiles.
Iranian elections was each of their most popular keyword.
With some very small exception, each were posting in English.
Half of them had the exact same profile photo.
Each had thousands of followers with only a few friends. Most of their friends were each other.
Why were these tweets in English? Why were all of these profiles obsessed with Iran? It became obvious that this was the work of a team of people with an interest in destabilizing Iran. The profiles are phonies and were created with the sole intention of destabilizing Iran and affecting public opinion as to the legitimacy of Iran's election.
I narrowed the spammers down to three of the most persistent, which was Stop Ahmadi at Iran Rigged Effort, Iran Rigged Elect at Change for Iran.
I started to do a Google search for two of the three, Stop Ahmadi and at Iran Rigged Elect. The first page to come up was J Post, Jerusalem Post, which is a right-wing newspaper, pro-Israeli newspaper.
J Post actually ran a story about three people who joined the social network mere hours ago had already amassed thousands of followers. Why would a news organization post a story about three people who just joined Twitter hours earlier? Is that newsworthy? J Post was the first and only, to my knowledge, and major news source that mentioned the three spammers. And
the fact that J Post promoted these three Twitters who went on to be the source of the Iranian election Twitter bombardment is unfortunately evidence that this was an Israeli propaganda campaign against Iran. I must admit that I had my suspicions. After all, quo bono. Who benefits? There is no question that Israel perceives Iran as an enemy, more so than any other nation. Destabilizing that country would benefit them. Oh, he's so smart to think of that, to track that down.
Oh, yeah, and he says, meet the spammers, Iran Rigged Elect, was one of them, and 3,146 followers and 31 friends. Okay?
Uh-huh.
340 tweets in the last 4 days, none before that. Top five words, Iran election. Yeah. A change for Iran, 14,000 followers, no friends, so that's kind of funny. 117 tweets in 2 days. Let's see, 800 followers, Iran election, 800 followers, 9 friends, 196 tweets in 3 days. They're just spamming. See, they're just spamming. That's all they're doing. So that's.
Are you ready to go to your interview there?
Yep, I thought we'd be good at that. And go right there in a second.
That's some pretty interesting news.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Those two sites are very good, I think. One was the last site that we read news off was David Icke.
Yeah.
And the site before that, what was that, Leo?
Citizens for Legitimate Government.
And that has a whole different number of articles from different sources.
Yeah, so I tend to use them for a lot of news because they're very good. But we're going to go now to an interview we did with John Brennan last night, and you're going to be talking about chemtrails and I believe 911. Bring something up on that tonight too.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy, please, and we'll be back right after.
And how you doing, John?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back again.
Yeah.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi, Ella. How's it going? And I've got a couple of different things I want to talk about tonight besides the chemtrail issue.
Okay.
But I'd probably just start off with this public service announcement.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I can find it here. I'm having a little technical trouble.
You are. I have to say
that. Global warming is an artificial modification of our Earth's climate systems to mitigate global warming. Surface waters in Northern California and many regions of our nation are testing alarmingly high in aluminum, barium, and many other dangerous contaminants.
Are we being exposed to danger?
Yes, you are being exposed to hundreds and even thousands of times higher than safe levels.
Is it the clouds from the airplanes?
Yes, our generation never had clouds that came from airplanes. Yours does, but those are not clouds. Jet trails now remain in the sky for up to an entire day, spreading out and raining reflective particles like aluminum that disrupt our planet's weather patterns.
We may also be suffering undue drought and vegetation losses, Alzheimer's and other neurological and respiratory distress. What can we do? Please
investigate for yourself. AmericanSkyWatch.com.
So there we have it, the public service announcement that's going out on many radio stations around the country, trying to get people to understand that the country and most of the world at this stage is in the grip of a major sort of a geoengineering experience, I guess we could call this, but without their knowledge. I know the regular listeners know what I'm talking about when I've discussed that. But this other story I came across, and this was, it was up on, I think it was Infowars.com, and it's a Congress lady, Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, speaking on the House floor. And she says, now we've moved into the realm of gangster government. We have a gangster government when the federal government... Oh, I've just lost my thing here. Hold on a second. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to play the piece for her.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we're going to be time short. I got two clips I want to play tonight.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The gentleman from Missouri, and I'm very concerned again about these motor takeovers from the federal government. One thing that I'm very concerned about, a story came out today where there's been approximately 1,500 letters, I believe, that have gone out to GM dealerships. One story that came out today, there's a dealership that I know of that applied to their Democrat senator to appeal for help so that they could stay open. That senator was able to arrange a meeting between the dealer and the officials at GM. We all know GM is now Government Motors because it's owned by the American people. It's been nationalized. There's no private corporation the way we used to think of GM. Now the main stockholder is the American government. So this Democrat senator was applied to for help, was able to secure a meeting with General Motors and the car dealership, and they were able to get their dealership back. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. There's also another article I saw today where a constituent had contacted one of the representatives, a Democrat representative here in this chamber, Representative Barney Frank. Barney Frank was able to go and talk to the right people and get this dealership back open. Is that what we have come to in this country? That rather than a private business with a private contract with another private corporation, they're no longer able to work out their agreements. Because as columnist Michael Barone has called, he said, now we've moved into the realm of gangster government. We have gangster government when the federal government has set up a new cartel, and private businesses now have to go begging with their hand out to their local, hopefully well politically connected congressman or their senator so they can buy a peace offering for that local business. Is that the kind of country we're going to have in the future? When I was on the phone today for over an hour with one of my local dealers, the very first thing out of her mouth was this. She said, this is the most un-American thing I have ever seen in my life. I can't believe that I lived to see the day that my country would come to this point where having my dealership for 90 years, I get a letter FedEx to me that tells me I have until Friday to sign this document to not only give up my company that was made worthless, worth $15 million, made worthless overnight. Now GM is demanding that she hand over her customer list, her service customer list to GM. Why? GM most likely will use those customer lists. They'll give it to her former competitors. What is she getting for this? What's her remuneration? She has a rug pulled out from her and from her husband. They virtually lost everything overnight. To what? To what Michael Barone called a gangster government. We need to call this for what this is, my colleague. We need to call this for what this is. Call it out. The American people need to get outraged and figure out that it could be them next. No business is safe when you see the administration appoint czars, car czars, wage czars. There's over 20 czars that have been appointed. And what do those czars do? They bypass the Congress. We're the people's elected representatives. We've been bypassed. We now have an imperial presidency where the president has appointed various czars, appointing directly to him, and now he's reaching into the confines of private businesses and overnight rendering them virtually worthless, unless they have a special tug, a political tie, to a local Democrat congressman. Is that what we've come to?
Well, I'm afraid that is what we've come to.
It was excellent, John. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I just felt, you know, I know it's way off subject for me, but I thought that people should hear that story. This isn't some bozo lady out in the middle of the boonies. This is somebody that's right in the Senate talking about this. And if those people are outraged, they're warning us publicly on these type of clips that are, you know, this is on C-SPAN or something.
Yeah, probably C-SPAN.
And we really, really need to start to pay attention in a big way to what's going on. I have another report. Hold on a second. I'm having trouble here with my... I'll turn the audio down there. I have an Anderson Cooper clip coming up. It's about a bunch of more gangsters kind of connected with the government. They're the police.
Mm-hmm.
And down in a little town outside Austin, Texas, there's been a big extortion racket going on. And I guess the clip is called Highway Robbery. Once I cue it up here, I think it'll be self-explanatory. Now, this clip comes from CNN. Anderson Cooper will be doing the narration, and he'll be interviewing judges, maybe police officers, and various people in the and the defense attorney down in Texas. I can't recall the name of the town. They'll tell you right on the audio clip.
John, this isn't the entire interview, is it?
This interview is 6 minutes, 57 seconds.
I'm not sure. I'm sure it'll probably be okay, but...
If it gets a little tiring, we'll break in.
I'm thinking of copyright on a 6.
Oh, okay, right. Well, it's been up on all the other channels. It's been on rents.com, it's been on infowars.com.
Well, it's probably all right then.
I don't think you'll have an issue with that,
okay.
But if you'd rather I didn't play it, that's okay.
No.
That's okay.
As long as it's...
if it's already out there, then that's all right.
Yeah, well, I'm third party anyway on your show, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, just take me a second. I got to back up the audio track here, and here we go.
Part of Texas, where Harry Tuchman has found another county awash in both cash and allegations of corruption. The money, more than $1 million last year, was seized from drivers who were pulled over by cops. Their allegations that some of those drivers were innocent. So what's happened to all that money? Well, that's why so many people are seeing Gary Tuchman tonight is keeping them on.
The dusty roads here in Texas Hill Country have been a gold mine for police and prosecutors. Some defense attorneys call it the best little ripoff in Texas.
It makes Texans look like buffoons, and it makes it look like all of our judges and police officers are crooks down here.
In Texas and other states, cops can pull over drivers suspected of serious crimes, and they can actually seize their cash and valuables. 4 times the former DA here spent tens of thousands of it for all expense paid trips to Hawaii for himself, some of his staff, and spouses.
Do you think it was okay to spend that money to go to Hawaii?
Absolutely.
Why did they do that?
Well, it's part of the United States. Last time I checked, and we have conferences all over the United States. What's the difference to what?
The organizers of the annual trip to this resort in Oahu invite spouses, sweeties, friends. The trip does include 10 hours of law seminars, 10 hours out of an entire week. The rest of the time is for sun, golf, and luau's. The price? $4,000 a couple. Steep. But that one is paid for by public money, made back home on the highway. Ron Sutton was the district attorney here for 32 years. He didn't run again this fall, but he's still working part-time in the DA's office.
But could you understand, sir, how it kind of looks bad, the people that are going to Hawaii 4 times a day?
Only to those people that are jealous because they haven't been to Hawaii.
The money used by the former DA came from the Texas forfeiture law. District attorney's offices get a cut of the seizure money and are allowed to use the cash for, quote, official purposes, which the former DA says is...
Anything used in connection with promoting and functioning of the office or training.
Hey, John? Can you hear me, John?
Yeah. All right.
I was thinking, you know, it's okay, but you know, this it's like we got a dick mayor in Hartford who's being arrested for fraud. We've got a former governor who spent a year and a half in jail, or a year and a day in jail.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 4 or 5 different mayors who've been just in Connecticut alone.
Yeah, but they haven't gone and kind of sheared the public at large out of tens of thousands of dollars, taking their cars off them. People were carrying money to, for reasons that were like going landscapers going to buy trees. They just took the $10,000 off them and said it was drug money.
Oh, I see.
That's all the story. It was literally highway robbery. They were making a killing out of it. There was holidays for the police, new cars. It was a big scam, and it's still going on down there. And it could happen elsewhere in the United States.
The reason
I'm kind of bringing up the story is that...
Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead.
You can replay it. It was just that I was getting a little... I was wondering.
I lost the audio check there now. That's no big deal. I think you got the gist of it anyway. But
okay. I mean, it's
probably up on.
So they were just random. They were just pulling over people that they did. They have an idea in advance. These people would have money or.
Sometimes they did, but sometimes they would just pull people over for no reason whatsoever.
And just impound their car or their truck.
Right. They come up with some kind of excuse, plant stuff on them. All sorts of things have come out now.
Wow.
That was coming up later on.
What are they going to do about that, John, did they say?
There's going to be some inquiries into it. It made national television, so I suppose there's going to be some inquiries. But nobody's been fired yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Seems like we're going into a lawless kind of a society.
Well, did you see that recent video that was released today and yesterday too, I think, about the trooper who went after an ambulance?
Driver.
Yes, I did, yeah. They tried to hide the video of them actually beating up the ambulance driver. It was an EMT.
Yeah, and there was a woman who was having a heart attack in the ambulance.
She had breathing difficulties.
And so between that and that, I mean, you can see the abuses that are happening all over the place now. It's
If you go on YouTube and you just type in the words pastor beaten and tased, There's a pastor from, I guess he's from New Mexico, travels across into Arizona on a regular basis.
Right, I saw that one, yeah.
Right, well, the Border Patrol, because he refused to show his papers, please, because they know him, and he said, you know, as a U.S. citizen, at the border, they're 100 miles inland from the border, by the way, and they're demanding to see his papers, please, and he got it finally, you know, decided to, you know, stick to the constitutional rules to the letter. And they let him through a number of times. Then another day he went through, they smashed his side windows out with hammers, and he got 11 stitches in the face.
Oh, wow.
There's two videos. The video of the hammers breaking the windows of the car are there, but you don't see him getting hit exactly, because I guess they took the camera as they tased him. And the previous video, you can see him just demanding American justice, demanding that he's allowed to pass without showing his papers,
yeah.
Please, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
They refused, and I should say before that they did allow him, but eventually the word came down just to make a lesson of him. And this is what's going on. We're losing our civil rights all across the country. We're being ripped off by police agencies. We're being ripped off by government, and even the people in Congress are actually saying it now, and as well as that, they're spraying us from overhead, and people are getting really fed up with this.
Not fed up enough, John.
Not fed up enough.
Not fed up enough. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, I swear to God. I mean, I think most people could walk around and have a crap falling down on top of their heads. Okay.
Well, they do have that now.
Yeah, no, literally, you know, have manure or something fall on top of their heads, and they would just like brush it off and walk on. You know, that's the way I see this. I don't see enough happening here. I was very pleased to see the outrage in Iran, for instance. The hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. But you know what was really interesting, John?
Yes.
Is that what was fascinating to me is they showed the 100,000 people in Iran going crazy over Ahmadinejad, okay? But they didn't show the 500,000 people that were marching in Washington week after week, okay, against the war in Iran and against the Bush administration and against everything for the last 8 years. You know what I mean?
That's correct.
Amazing. It's amazing how things get turned around. You know, I mean, what? There's 40 million people in 40 or 50 or 60. I don't know how many millions of people in Iran. It's the biggest country in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what? They got 100,000 crazy kids running around. You know, with green fingers and stuff. I mean, so they're gonna put that in front of the New York Times. They're gonna put that on everything, right? But nobody knows if Ahmadinejad actually won or lost. All right, he's claiming he won, and who cares?
Well, we know that
it's
George
not,
Bush never
100,000 people in the streets, big freaking deal. I mean, you know, they don't listen to us. Nobody listens to us. All right, when we march, 1 million people, 2 million, 3 million, 10 million. I mean, nobody listens in the United States. They don't even bring their cameras, for crying out loud. You know.
Yeah.
So it's not even mentioned in the Times. No, it's mentioned absolutely nowhere. So it's like, what I'm saying is that
what's your
I'm
point?
Getting really disappointed and really disgusted at the way things are going down, and I'm losing a lot of respect for the way we think here in the United States. And you know, I'm grateful to hear people squawk. I'm grateful to hear the radio talk shows going crazy. I'm glad to hear people are calling in and making waves. But you know, it's not enough.
John, what was the response to on the show that you heard that clip on where the police were really just robbing the people? Was there an open mic where people calling in and responding?
No. They just basically kind of let people know that
this was happening.
Keeping them straight,
yeah.
Is the section they do it on CNN.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. Keeping them honest. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's so in other words, CNN. We're going to follow up on the story. But a lot of that stuff that CNN do. CNN's a controlled media.
Yeah.
Governments.
Well, you know, he's like, you know, Anderson Cooper is the kind of guy to me. He's like the butterscotch, butterscotch boy.
Almost recruited by the CIA. He did.
Oh, of course these guys are. And you remember you sent over that, you sent me that quote on by Woolsey, who was the former CIA director, and said that everybody, every, every person in the media is involved with the intelligence.
Well, going back to the 1940s, under a project called Operation Mockingbird,
right.
You can just Google Operation Mockingbird, and you'll see the CIA was in the business of recruiting all major journalists and all media,
right.
Television, radio, newspapers.
Well, totally controlled,
and basically
totally.
Just propagandizing the public.
Well, they were very successful here. It's totally controlled, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Now, one of the reasons Anderson Cooper did these type of pieces, or CNN do this, is to give you the illusion that, you see, we're on your side, we're looking out for you. So they will show in these pieces, like cops down in that town in Texas,
who are completely corrupt.
This is something that you would think would go on.
Well, they do that. They do, it would have to be Texas, because that's where, Chuck Norris is, you know what I mean?
Outfit down there sounds like something you see on a 1960s movie.
But at the same time, who's the first state that has talked about seceding from the Union? Texas, right?
Vermont.
The governor said he wants.
Oh, Vermont. They've already.
Well, I don't care. Vermont is fine, but what I'm trying to say is nobody knows about Vermont. Everybody knows about Texas. Okay, and Texas has made the biggest stink about this thing. All right.
Rick Perry is the governor.
And everybody puts down Texas, like, you know, they got the death penalty and they kill people, and George Bush was the president. He was the governor, and you know, it's just like crap on Texas, you know what I mean? But it's like, this would happen to be a globalist concept. This would be a totally approved news item. You know what I mean?
Fully approved news item by the
people who want to trash Texas. And, you know, and Anderson Cooper, like I said, he's a butterscotch boy. You know what I mean? He's a candy boy.
He's one of the Vanderbilts.
Yeah, exactly.
Rich family.
But he reminds me of a little,
tragic family, though.
Little butterscotch boy. You know, his reporting is trite, and he's trite, you know, and I just find him trite. So that's me. But, you know, I can see them doing that. I can see them controlling all of these guys. I mean, what about these babes that are on there now? I mean, God almighty, they look like they came off of the Playboy centerfolds. You know what I mean? With all the makeup they put on these girls.
I actually heard a report that a lot of the people who can't make it in the movie industry now go into the Weather Channel or go into some of the news readings.
Sure, but look at CNN and Fox. All of the they call them news babes.
So it's just a different script, right?
News babes.
Right, but they're not just ordinary people from ordinary families. They're all from very wealthy Ivy League type schools, families.
Sure.
Well, in Morning Joe, you have Mika Brzezinski. You know who her father is.
Right there, John. That's got to be the most... I don't even have a word to describe that program. It is the most stupid, the most lame-brained, talk show I've ever seen. All right, Morning Joe. Have you ever seen that show?
Yes, once in a while.
God. I mean, it makes these people make you sick. All right, Joe, Long Joe there, or Blow Joe. I mean, he's just sitting back there, like he's just. You know, kissing everybody's rear end, you know. Oh, I love Obama, but I hate this, and I don't like this, and I love this. And then what's her name? That Brzezinski woman? She looks like she's got a hair cross every morning. I mean, creepers. I mean, this woman, looks like she's dragged out of bed and beaten over the head to get on there. And then when she gets there, she's like, totally against everything.
Well, the public buy it lock, stock, and barrel. They always
And her father comes on every morning. I mean, this morning they had. I had to change it right away. I saw Brzezinski was going to be the guest on Morning Joe again. I mean, Christ, they might as well have made him the co-host. You know what I mean? And get rid of the daughter. Right, but it's like, and then you get a couple other wankers there, Buchanan and Willie Wimp, whatever his name is. I mean, what kind of a meathead group is this? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, and then they bring out, I mean, it's just a meathead bunch of people on that show. And then if you look at CNN, you got a couple of dolls with 3-inch eyebrows, you know what I mean, or eyelashes. All right, and then you go.
Well, it's about performance. That's what it's about.
And as John mentioned,
those are people who are failed movie actors, and all they're doing is playing a role and reading a script.
They're acting.
That's all it is.
Yeah, and in the morning they get all the girls. All the women have to stand up now. Is the thing CNN and
makes them look
and,
more
and,
serious,
and
I guess.
And all they're all standing now to show off their legs and their pretty little bodies. All right, and it's a horrible to watch TV now.
Just real quickly, I'm going to go back to the subject of the cam channels. But just real quick, I know we're at the top of the hour. You got like 2 minutes to do your station.
That's okay. Go ahead.
There was an article. Entitled, Is a New Cloud Category on the Horizon?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, I think I emailed you.
Oh, you know, I pulled that up. I was going to read it that way. Did you want to talk about it?
Well, there's another thing over in England. There's also another article on the same thing with the Royal Meteorological Society or something. I haven't quite got the article in front of me.
But, John, you know what surprised me about this was the source. That article. The source of the article. Guess, you remember who it was?
I don't know.
CBS News.
Well, it
was CBS News. It was the source, yeah. It was amazing to me when I saw this, because I said, holy cow, I mean, they're shoving it right in your face. You know what I mean?
Right, well, William Thomas, the investigative reporter who first read the temp shell issue, he had said on the Discovery Channel interview that he felt that very shortly they would try and kind of get it into the media and slowly break us with the news that they're geoengineering the atmosphere. And perhaps
they're calling it a new cloud.
Yeah, the one in England is called Asperatus, which is a Latin for rough cloud or something, they say. I'll read you a real quick sentence here. Meteorologists around the world have taken notice of a new storm cloud on the horizon. Quite literally, and I wonder where these came from. And if they have their way, the dark and choppy cloud will take its rightful place among the famous cousins, Cumulus, Cirrus, and Nimbus. Cloud-gazing meteorologists first noticed the stormy and billowy formation floating over the Scottish Highlands and above Snowdonia, Wales. The unique grey storm cloud was also spotted over Australia, the cornfields of Iowa, and high above the Arctic Sea, off the coast of Greenland. A group in England dedicated to the cloud watching and watching the photos of new storm clouds floating in the atmosphere has now called this a... These people are called the Cloud Appreciation Society. I'm having to go through this quickly here. The Royal Meteorological Society has named the new cloud Asperatus, the Latin word for rough, since the cloud is the appearance of a rough, choppy ocean. Now, going back to what I've got to say, I'm breaking away from the article here. I believe that all of this spraying in the atmosphere has put enough artificial stuff, whatever you want to call it, metallic particulate, that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing this build-up in big clumps all around the world. And whether it's being steered by electromagnetic frequencies, which is possible, if you go to Tom Bearden's webpage, he's a former colonel in the U.S. Army, and he has lots of information about Russian weather engineering and how they use electromagnetic frequencies to steer the jet stream. So it's not surprising that this new cloud. So over in England, they've got it, and back over here, we've also had stories on, I think it was on the DiscoveryChannel.com had an article on that.
I don't know, but the fact that this was CBS News, and go to...
Okay, that was the end of that... That was the end of that particular interview. Sorry about that. But please go to, if you want to go to that article, go to CBS News, New Clouds, they called it. And be happy to, that would be it's a good article. And we want to thank John. He's regular on our show each week. And as our environmental host, an environmental reporter. And No, just a great source of information and a good researcher and reporter. And so we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Please join us tomorrow. Thursday night, when we venture into the spiritual world, or into spirituality, and then on Friday, we will have George Dixon with us, and we'll be discussing the Mayan calendar. We're going to, I was talking to George today, we're going to begin a new series, I believe, or a new topic. We're going to try to get more into the UFO aspects, because now that we're in the sixth night, or not sixth night, but the sixth day of the Mayan calendar, this information is supposed to be becoming more available to the public, and during this period of time between now and November of this year, extraterrestrials, we are supposed to be seeing them, I believe. They're supposed to make themselves known to us during this period. So it'd be interesting to see if they do or not. But I think that but that's where we're going to go into doing some studying this week. On Friday night, begin another series with George to discuss the works of Zachariah Sitchin's. We'll be getting into the Anunnaki more, and we'll be studying the, we'll be discussing the Earth Chronicles, which is the work by Sitchin's in his translation of the Sumerian tablets, which is basically his claim to fame, as well as his archaeological finds. And we'll be discussing that on Friday night with George Dixon. So we have a great week for you. Please join us, and hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you for listening, and have a pleasant evening.